The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome, friends, to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society, as today we continue our discussion on the New Testament phrase, adoption as sons. Bob Wilkin, Ken Yates, and Steve Elkin are going to continue talking about it. Today, what do Romans 8 and Hebrews 12 have to say about adoption as sons? And what is the difference, if any, between being a child of God and a son of God? A great discussion just ahead, and I want to tell you about faithalone.org, our website, where you can find all kinds of resources to help you in your free grace pursuits and studies. And I especially want to encourage you to consider attending our National Conference 2023. The dates are May 22nd through the 25th, and the theme is Vital Free Grace Issues. This year, the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference will be held at the same place it was last year, Camp Copus. It's a great place, a family camp with all kinds of recreation possibilities, and the fellowship will be out of this world with other believers, and the food is pretty good too. The camp is on the shoreline of a lake, very beautiful, and hotel accommodations are right there on the campgrounds. Find out more, get registered at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now for today's discussion, here are Steve and Bob and Ken.
And if you listened to our last podcast, you know we were talking about the difference between child and son and the adoption of sons. And we're here with Steve Elkins, and he is going to lead us into part two of this very interesting discussion.
Last time we talked about the huiathesia, this ceremony common throughout the Greco-Roman world where the father would adopt even his own son. It could be his blood son. But he went through what was called the adoption, the huiathesia, huios meaning son, thesia, placement as son. In this ceremony, just to repeat, he would take off the toga infantilis, put on the toga virilis of the son, and declare before all, this is my son, essentially, with whom I'm well pleased. He's my legal heir. He'll take over the work, et cetera, et cetera. In essence, as Bob was pointing out, we might think of firstborn son. He's going to be the head of the family, get the double portion, take over the business. And if we could grasp this huiathesia ceremony, it makes some passages that we'll look at today really come alive. Last time we finished with Romans 8:14, there's a distinction between children and sons of God. It's only those are sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God.
This is an extremely important topic. This was probably more than any other the one that led me to free grace.
While you were at Dallas?
I was at Dallas Seminary, and I was told to write a paper on Romans 8. Everybody said a child of God and a son of God are the same thing.
Mm.
And that did not make any sense to me because Paul says we are debtors then to walk by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's commanding us to walk by the Spirit. And then he says, for those who walk by the Spirit are the sons
right.
of God. And everyone said, well, sons of God are all believers. I said, well, do all believers walk by the
mm-hmm.
Spirit? Then why does Paul command us to be? And it made
right.
absolutely no sense. What I finally saw through Craig Glickman and Zane Hodges, there's a difference between being a child and being a son in Romans 8.
Yeah, and in Romans 8, Galatians 4 echoes the same thing. We're talking about mature sons as opposed to children. In Galatians 4, it says, if we're a Christian who's put himself back under the law, we're acting like children. We're not sons. In fact,
yes.
we're acting like slaves. But what people don't realize is, for instance, they read the Beatitudes and come to 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Matthew 5:9.
Exactly. And they don't realize that the Beatitudes are the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, and they are all about kingdom rewards and inheriting the kingdom.
In fact, doesn't Beatitudes mean something along the lines of blessing?
Or blessed. And blessed is also tied into eternal rewards heavily. But at any rate, being called a son of God in the kingdom is no question a huge reward. It's not given to everyone. We know that, for instance, in Revelation 21:7, when John says, to him who overcomes, let me read it exactly, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Wow.
That's to the overcomer. We know from chapters 2 and 3, not every believer is an overcomer.
Yeah,
but a lot of people don't agree with that.
Exactly.
A lot of people see that and they go, okay, so if you're not a victorious Christian, then you either lose your salvation or fail to win final salvation.
Yes, and I hope all the listeners see the importance of this, how you're going to see these passages yeah. and why this is so important.
Your assurance is tied to it.
Right.
Because part of being a victorious Christian is knowing
absolutely
I am a secure child of God.
No question about it. Well, back to Romans real quickly. 8:14 says, if we're led by the Spirit, we're sons of God. Then he says, we've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of the huiathesia, the placement as a son, and we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out indicating prayer, and that's the next verse. The Spirit himself bears witness together with our spirit as we pray before the Lord that we're children of God. And it's another way of saying, like Hebrews says, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace because of the blood of Christ.
Right.
We're his children. And then it says, 8:17, and it's often misunderstood. A lot of people think every believer is a co-heir of Christ. That's not true. The language actually indicates it. If read accurately, it says, and if children heirs, on one hand, heirs of God, but on the other hand, co-heirs with Christ, if it be so, if indeed.
It's conditional.
It's conditional.
I believe the Greek word is iper, right? And it means it's not a given.
That's right. If we co-suffer with Christ, and you know, while every believer, if they live any length of time, is going to have some suffering, it's not always co-suffering with Christ, for Christ. But let's go on today. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Then he says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits, underline that phrase, eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, we don't know the side of the kingdom who the sons are. Okay, let's go on. So all creation is eagerly awaiting this revelation, this revealing of the sons of God. That is, in my mind, the huiathesia that's going to take place, Hebrews 1, on the enthronement day, when not only is Christ revealed as the heir of the world, the king, he's anointed to rule, but along with him are anointed his co-ruling companions who've been faithful to the end. They've held fast their confession, firm to the end, like the overcomers
right.
in Revelation 2 and 3. And they inherit that. They get to rule also. And so that's the revelation, the huiathesia of these sons of God. But let's go on. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And here's that phrase, like all creation, eagerly waiting for the huiathesia. What's the huiathesia? The revealing of the sons of God. We all should be eagerly. It's going to be the most joyous day in history. In fact, when it says in Hebrews 1:9 that he's anointed the metakoi with the oil of gladness, agaliosis is a particular kind of joy. It means specifically laughing, leaping joy. It's used in the Beatitudes at the end of them when it says, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for you will have exceeding joy. That's the word. This is going to be the greatest, grandest day in all of history. It's really what all history is looking forward to, this revealing of the sons of God.
The culmination of where history is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've often said, I don't know if you guys agree with this, that if you wanted to condense the message of the Bible into two words, it's Jesus rules. And if you want to have a sub-point under that, those who are faithful to him will rule with him.
Or even more simply, we can rule with him.
Yeah, we can rule with him.
Yeah.
That's for those who receive this adoption as sons.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:12, of course, begins with another condition. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. That's
right.
A condition. We have to endure to get to reign with him. A lot of believers, unfortunately, don't endure. That doesn't mean they're not believers or they're not going to heaven, but they're not going to reign with
Christ. And Colossians 1:21-23 has similar language with an if clause in order to be presented holy, blameless, and beyond reproach.
Yeah.
There's lots of verses like that, and people look at it and they go, okay, what these are warnings that if you don't persevere, you're either going to prove you weren't saved or you're going to lose your salvation or you're going to fail to get final salvation. No, those are all warnings that a believer can forfeit a fuller experience of life forever.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. He's just said earlier that he's created everything and he's the heir of the world to come. It's fitting for him in bringing many sons, plural, to glory. Now, the glory he's talking about here in context, he's just mentioned beforehand, that Christ was made a little lower than the angels, but now he's crowned with glory. So what he's saying is he's bringing many sons to share in his glorious reign. And so it says it was fitting to make the captain, this word could also be translated trailblazer, because he's gone the path before us, the captain of their salvation. We're talking about the deliverance, the inheritance here.
See, there's a big word in Hebrews, is soteria. Salvation is not going to heaven. It's not having everlasting life.
Right.
But it's being one of Christ's metakoi, one of his partners in the life to come.
He's using it like the many psalms he's just quoted before this. It's going to be sharing in the victor's spoils. He's bringing many sons to share in his glorious reign. Like he too was perfected through sufferings, they're going to be perfected through sufferings as well. And that will lead us to Hebrews 12, the metakoi training school, how he trains us.
There is a metakoi training school?
Absolutely. And if we don't go through it, we're not going to be a metakoi. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to huioi, sons. My son, huios, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. This is the word paideia. It means he trains. This is the verb, paiduo. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, if you endure this training, God deals with you as with huioi, a legal heir son. For what son is there whom a father does not paiduo, train in this way? Tough, suffering, hard training. But if you are without this training, by which all metakoi have come about or been produced, then you are nothoi and not huioi. Non-legal heir sons doesn't mean illegitimate. You're still a child of God. Non-legal heir sons versus a legal heir son.
This is great.
And verse 11 says, no training is joyful at the present. It's painful, but later it's going to produce holiness. And that's what we've got to have. We're going to be a metakoi.
Well, we're going to have at least one more. And we hope you'll join us next time. And until then, remember to
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' great book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is available half price right now in the GES bookstore, faithalone.org. Go there and use the code word MISUNDERSTOOD for 50% off through March the 31st, 2023. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, the guys will continue and conclude our discussion on adoption as sons. I hope you'll be with us for the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.